under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my power. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on the feet of God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome on into Friday TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, January 16th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. I want to thank a longtime friend, Patriot brother, our engineer, Devin Lawrence. He made the trek down from the hinterland of the UP and installed some new equipment for us and some new cables, cleaned up the rack a little bit, and is making adjustments in the studio this morning as I speak. So if you can, send me a text and let me know if it's cleaner, crisper, without the little hiss on either Simple Radio app or the TuneIn app, as well as the website for the show, yourdefendingfathers.com. Greatly appreciate him doing this for us. Man, I got to tell you, it looks so nice in the studio, what he did for us. Well, we've got a great show lined up for you today. We've got some interviews. We got a history lesson in the second hour with Pastor Chatfield. And this topic for today is dead on, right on topic as usual. Topic, history lesson planned for today: is the United States of America an imperialistic nation? And should it be? Well, I kind of know the answer for myself, and I think I know what Pastor Chatfield's leanings are, but it is going to be a great second-hour discussion. Because of yesterday's show, when I played the map of the Monroe Doctrine from 1823, President James Monroe, early on, realized that we basically have two hemispheres, Western and Eastern. And if you draw a line, a kind of a curved little banana around Greenland, going all the way down through South America, Latin America, Cuba, Honduras, Venezuela, we, the United States, Canada, Alaska, Hawaii, we belong to the Western Hemisphere. President Monroe back then, over 200 years ago, stop and think about that, 2026, 1823, had the foresight to know that we have to control the Western Hemisphere. If the United States of America is going to have the U.S. dollar be dominant in the world, we have to control this hemisphere. If we are going to protect our shores, we need to protect this hemisphere. He realized back then and drew the map, put it out there. Well, Donald Trump said in that short little video snippet that I played yesterday here on the show, some presidents have forgotten the Monroe Doctrine. I haven't. I will absolutely, absolutely enforce it. You have to understand one thing. If you allow China, Russia, to pierce and get influence in our Western Hemisphere, that changes our national security. Well, what did we see yesterday? The premier of Canada going to China and kissing the boots of President Xi. He doesn't like Donald Trump. Well, he's going to buddy up with China. Not in our hemisphere. Got a great show lined up for you today. Appreciate Devin fixing the levels for us. We're going to take a short break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing. People, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. This is the second segment of hour number one here on this Friday, January 16th edition. Joining us on the line right now is Justin Michael. He's a candidate for the 1st Congressional District. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, good morning, Randy. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man. We're looking at some snow starting to fall here for the weekend. But other than that, we're living the life. And I got to tell you, it was pretty interesting. The other day, the current congressman chose to be on Newsmax while President Donald Trump was in Detroit. And it looked like the congressman was standing in the rotunda there in the Capitol. And then I don't know if it was pre-recorded or what, because allegedly Trump said his name at the event there at the Detroit Economic Club where he was speaking. And it's kind of weird because I was watching it at about 12:15 after the show, monitoring Newsmax and seeing what was going on. And there's the congressman. And then the president goes to the Ford factory at the F-150 Ford plant that's now announcing they're running 24 hours a day, 6 days a week to meet the demands for the F-150 Ford pickup truck. And then he made his way on over to the Detroit Economic Club and announced or mentioned anyway, the congressman. One of the things that he said during that Newsmax interview, and I found it to be very interesting, is they talked to him specifically about the intelligence or the Armed Forces Committee, excuse me, that he's a member of, and wanted to nail him down on his thoughts about potentially using military force if necessary to protect the protesters there in Iran. And kind of a very ambiguous answer. And I don't know if that's because of national security. I'm not sure exactly why, but it was a very strange response. And as a candidate running against the incumbent congressman, I'd like to get your thoughts about what Donald Trump is doing, wanting to support the protesters, the uprising that's taking place there in Iran. Do you think that's a good thing, or do you think he should stay out of it?
Well, given my global conflict resolution background, I struggle with Iran in a few ways. One, you know, they've had roughly 50 years of indoctrination in their culture, right? To hate the West, to hate Western ideology, to hate Western perspectives. And you see right now an uprising of youth in protest, and the numbers are staggering, right? Over 10,000 arrests that have been reported. Now, whether or not that's credible information coming out of Iran or our news sources, that's one thing. You know, over 2,000 people have been killed. And when we talk about protests in the United States of America, regardless of what side that you're on, Republican or Democrat, we don't necessarily support protests in our own country, right? And I'll give you an example of this. You have the protests of January 6th. And, you know, historically, the Democrats have demonized those protesters.
Sure, absolutely.
And, you know, put them in jail and ruin their lives, so to speak.
Sure.
And some people argue that was unconstitutional because they didn't get due process. They weren't charged with anything. They were just detained.
And obviously they didn't get a speedy trial either.
Right. And absolutely not. Some people were detained for years. So when you're looking at, that's one side of it. And then on the flip side, you had the George Floyd protests, which, you know, again, we didn't send military action in to stop. So when you're looking at these, and I'm just giving two examples, right? But
sure.
Historically, we haven't, as a nation, been in protection of protesters. So why would we want to engage in the defense of protesters in Iran? Now, I know from a geopolitical perspective, you can say, okay, you know, if we can get Iran to fall, we can get a new government that's pro-Western in there, and the Middle East is going to be peaceful. But people fail to understand the fact that Iranians don't consider themselves to be Arab. and they don't even speak. They don't even speak the same language, right?
Explain Farsi. Explain that component, Justin, because a lot of people don't get that. Explain the difference.
So culturally, before Iran was Iran, it was Persia, and in the Persian Empire was massive.
Sure,
but Persians speak Farsi, and originally it was Persian, the language of Persian, but now we call it Farsi, and that's the language.
Yep.
Other Arab nations speak Arabic, and culturally they're different. Although the current state of Iran is an Islamic republic, the religions may be the same, but the culture is completely different. And you have some influence of French culture in the Persian. So it's completely different when you're looking at it from a cultural perspective. There's never been an agreement of the Arab world and the Persian world or the Iranian world, because they're different. And it's a clash, and it's been a clash for thousands of years. So when you're looking at this, it's not like they're just going to be welcomed by the Arab nations. They want peace, obviously, Saudi Arabia. But you're looking at nations in those regions that are very strong right now. Qatar, Saudi Arabia, the UAE. They're very developed, and they're continuing to develop. They're putting a lot of money internationally in their image and how they're viewed as countries. They're trying to get a lot of foreign investment in those countries for those to grow. And they're spending a lot of U.S. dollars right now trying to build those nations up around them. Iran's been under sanctions for years. They've had to create a whole different trade structure away from the current commodities trade just to exist as a nation. So they've developed these routes that are different, with partnership and agreements that are not in alliance with the West. They tried to avoid the West because essentially the West has bullied them since they became the Islamic Republic. So,
sure.
So now you're looking at a factor that, if you just assume that because you help some protesters out, that they're just going to be pro-Westernized, the issue that I see happening is they don't understand how to embrace the West, because it's not something that they've been indoctrinated with for the last 50 years. So if you remove what I would call some stability in the current government, right? Although they talk a lot, they really haven't done anything. I mean, in historical context, you say they went to war with Iraq or whatever, but when you're looking at the current government situation, if that falls and becomes more radicalized, opportunities for Hamas and other factors to take over that government,
sure.
Then what happens?
Oh, yeah, it gets even worse than what we have now.
Right. What if there's, 10,000 or 20,000 people that are protesting because, they feel like it's time for liberation? What if the majority of the country, though, the rest of the population, is like, this is an opportunity to become more radicalized and to push our – this is exactly why, and this is exactly what our government warned us of. The West coming in, trying to take us over, and it just kind of hones in and really exacerbates their need or want to do damage to the West. And that's an easy way to radicalize people, because you can say, see, look what they did. They brought in military action. They're trying to take over our country. And unfortunately, the United States of America doesn't have a great history of regime change. And then we can go back. Anything since World War II kind of been a disaster. There aren't really any good examples of the United States going in and it's like a peaceful transition. Everybody's happy and we live in utopias. So exactly the opposite, to be honest. And that's no discredit. It's just the United States isn't very good at it. And maybe we should work more on diplomacy, right, and figuring out how to create democracies elsewhere. But we've failed, right? We failed in Vietnam, somewhat failed in Korea. You can talk about, the failures in Iraq. You can – even Nicaragua. So, you could go through the list of these factors and say – and those are just some, and there's more. Afghanistan's another one. So when you're looking at that, we don't really have a good history of regime change. And we even had regime change in Iran because, again, this happened as a result of the U.S. having someone that was in power there who wasn't really pro-Western. And we're like, well, we can't have that. And then all of a sudden, it, it, cause for the rise of the Ayatollah, and now we're in this situation that we're in. Yeah, so we're trying to resort back to that.
So this goes back to what you're saying is when we somewhat got involved
destabilized
with the Shah of Iran when he left, then look what we got is basically what you're saying.
Right. And so now you have, you know, that 40 years or 50 years of indoctrination, not to like the West.
Yeah.
And if you take away whatever structure they have right now, if that doesn't go your way, if the support really isn't there, right, say it's a delusional support, just because a couple of people who are pro-U.S. are on the phone talking to the State Department in the White House saying, yeah, we really care, we can bring America in here, it'd be great, doesn't mean that's necessarily what the general population thinks.
Gotcha.
And you know that there are players in that realm that obviously see opportunities financially, you know, whether we say it's economic, whether it's
power structure,
support, your power structure, power dynamics, exactly. Yep. Who can benefit from U.S. assistance.
Yep.
They're the ones that are driving it. You're not getting anyone inside the Iranian government right now that has the balls to go in and say, hey, let's call the United States backdoor channel. Because yep. Those people will get beheaded or put into prison. Because that's not how Iran's government is handling people who are traitors in their eyes.
Well, so, you definitely understand the Middle East, having served over there.
Yeah, having lived there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, there is this huge concern for me, Randy, that if we try to support that and there isn't really real support, then you kind of have
people.
By the people, right? You may have it by the protesters or the people who feel liberated. But even in America, right, the percentage of people that are going out and protesting are a fraction of the percentage of the people who are going to work every day. You know, sometimes we look at those protests and we're like, what are you doing? Like, why are you standing out on the street corner and it's 20 below zero saying no kings?
Yeah.
Right? So, and I'm not labeling individuals who want to go out and protest. That's your constitutional right. But what I'm saying is what they're saying might not be what the rest of the society around them thinks.
Got
and
it,
if we go in there and we destabilize it, we have a military operation that fails or we start supporting them militarily. And Israel obviously is chomping at the bit because they've been trying to do this for years. What does that mean? Because if it fails, now we've just radicalized an entire country to believe the stuff that they said, which is the West wants to destroy us. They want to kill us. We need to act. And that could just start complete chaos in the Middle East, turmoil. And that's not what Qatar wants. That's not what Saudi Arabia wants. That's not what the UAE wants, because they want to bring investors there. And the only way to do that is to say, look, we're safe. We're sovereign. There is no wars. We're not going to have suicide bombers. Like, our countries are the place you want to spend your money because it's safe. And so I don't know. You know, I don't know what to say about that. I'm not trying to go against the president of the United States and his geopolitical agenda. I am concerned that he wanted to allocate an additional $500 billion to the Defense Department. I mean, we're at almost a trillion now. You know, I don't know what's coming. It doesn't feel good in the stomach.
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking at these key indicators and some of the things that people are saying, it's a concern. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, I'd love to see a debate between you and the current congressman on this subject because,
honestly,
I think you know a lot more than he does.
Well, listen, debate wise, I will tell you this. There's an organization in Michigan, Northern Michigan, in our district that's putting on debates, and they've asked both sides. But yep. Republicans and Democrats to attend. And currently they have 13 things on the schedule starting in February, March, and April. And I can get you that list so you can look into it.
Yes.
If you want to talk about those things. And they'll be all over the district. You know, there's a week that we spend up in the UP.
We're up against a hard break. I got to let you go.
Yeah. Hey, I'll talk to you later, bud.